Welcome to episode number 154 of Stand Under the Don't Tree and Riddle Me This, a podcast about video games. My name is Cole Ross, and I am joined via Skype tonight by
Dennis Furia.
David Meismith.
And today is completely, you know, not out of the ordinary. Nothing special is happening at this time in early June. Nothing at all. We're just going to have a normal show where we talk about what we've been playing and then a little bit of what's on our... Oh, wait, it's E3. Sorry.
Damn it.
Yep. Ah, I gotcha. It wasn't even that clever. Like, I don't know. Like, that's... I didn't juke you. I just... So here's the order of business. Okay, I'm gonna lay out the roadmap. Just so we can maintain some form here. We're gonna do a rapid fire what we have been playing. And then we're going to jump right into, and I mean like right into like and like rapid fire talking about press conferences that have happened so far. For those of you who do not know, we record on Tuesday nights, but we are fortunate enough that all of the major press conferences have happened already. So we're going to hit them in this order, which is going to be Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, and then all of the scraps. So I'm looking at Electronic Arts, Ubisoft, and some stuff from like LucasArts and Namco and stuff like that. So let's ask this question. What you guys been playing? I can go first. Ain't been playing shit. This week's been cray-cray.
Nothing at all.
Nothing? Feels like I'm playing nothing at all.
What about like a softcore mobile game? There's got to be at least one in there.
Softcore mobile game. Emmanuel goes to the iPad. let's see here. I've been playing a little bit of Waking Mars on the iPad, and that one's pretty neat. It's made by the guys who did Spider, The Secret of Bryce Mansion, which was kind of one of those first games that proved that you could do a platformer on the iOS without using a virtual keyboard, keypad, D-pad thing. Which is pretty neat. You play as an astronaut who is in the subterranean of Mars, and you garden. So you pick up seeds and you plant them into fertile ground. And by doing that, you solve puzzles. So it's kind of like Metroid, Super Metroid specifically in that way. It's real lonely and crazy, and they haven't encountered enemies yet. But it's kind of like Super Metroid meets Harvest Moon on the iPad. Which is pretty cool.
Best mashup ever.
It was also $3. So
Harvest Mars.
Yeah, Harvest Mars. There we
Harvest
go.
Mars. has there ever been a Harvest Moon character in Super Smash Bros?
The cow was in the first one. No, he wasn't.
That's actually been like one of the rumored characters every iteration, I think.
The cow?
Huh? Not the cow. The farmer.
One of my favorite things about Harvest Moon ever, during the 8 years that I worked at GameStop, whenever a new Harvest Moon game comes out, and this has been true since 2004, whenever a new Harvest Moon game comes out, the pre-order bonus is a little plushie of an animal. Okay. And so I at various times I have owned plushie cows, plushie dogs, plushie chickens, plushie alpacas, and they get lost along the way. But yeah, that's Harvest Moon, but like literally nothing else. I mean, I've been playing a little bit of PsyOps, but that is for Watch Out for Fireballs, and I have to save all that. Have to save all that science for that podcast.
Dad needs to leave work at work, I think.
Say, Dad needs to leave work at work.
Yeah, don't bring your work stuff here.
Well, no, this is we're all one big family. But if I waste my magic gear, you know, or if I use my magic here,
it's true.
I don't know how I feel about that. No.
So, what did you think? Just listen to the other one.
Yeah, just listen to the other one. Yeah. And I played a little bit like I played Puzzle Quest 2, but that's like we said everything that there is to say about it last week.
Yeah.
And I played a little bit more Silent Hill Downpour, but it's just not enough to like say anything categorically different than what I said last time. So yeah, that's about it. And in the interest of keeping it rapid fire, you know.
Yeah.
All that.
Well, I don't have much that I've been playing either, so I can kind of hop right on those coattails and say that I've been playing more Puzzle Quest as well. And again, I can't get over the idea that a match three game takes about 15 minutes to do anything. So I keep on pulling it out thinking it's just a little diversion. And then a half hour later, I realized that I was supposed to be at a meeting or something like that, you know? So it's held my attention well.
About a half hour later.
I got my first positive kill death ratio in months.
Really?
So that was good. Yeah.
Wait, positive or like greater than one?
I had more kills than deaths.
Okay.
Wait, because yeah, positive would mean you went Jesus style.
No, I guess.
Rather negative would mean you went Jesus style.
Yeah, I guess that's what I kind of what I'm saying because positive would indicate yeah. Like anything above zero would be positive. However, anything less than one would mean that you died more than you. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I went super integral.
Okay.
Super unimal. Super yeah. over one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to invent a word here and it's not working.
Yeah. This is why we need the Merkel to make up math sounding words,
or to shake his head silently as we grope around for
with
it.
With a master's degree in mathematics, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So you are doing well on
yes.
on Battlefield. That's cool.
Did well once. I'll keep it honest. I did
okay.
well once, and I may have been riding passenger in a helicopter that my brother was piloting. So you know, there's that.
Yeah.
So I've been playing PsyOps as well. That's one that's been on my like pile of shame forever and ever and ever. So I finally got the kick in the pants I needed to play it.
Nice.
Where are you in it?
I just got pyrokinesis.
Okay, is that before or after the trippiness level?
Before.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yep. The trippy stuff doesn't happen till the end. It's kind of like Zen from Half-Life, not you know, and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. yeah. So.
All right. So. I think that's me and you, Cole.
Yep. David, what up?
Been playing a little bit more Diablo 3. Haven't really gone anywhere. Only thing I can say really is that I like the way they do the your companion characters. It's sort of, you know, they run around with you and they'll comment on what's going on. So it's sort of a kind of a very, very basic version of like the BioWare approach.
Yep.
But it's, you know, it's interesting having, like, you know, the ultra gung-ho, you know, idealistic Templar and, like, my cynical demon hunter. Although the one thing is I want to know who's decided in, like, all these games that idle dialogue is a good idea.
How often are you standing around?
Well, that's the thing. If I'm standing around, it's either because, like, I went to go check on something in the room and I'm not at the TV, so the idle dialogue doesn't help. Or like I'm, you know, arranging my inventory or something, so the idle dialogue is you know, just annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they think that like every so often I'm just like staring at the screen and the idle dialogue happens. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be playing the game? I know. I just find that really weird. But other thing I've been doing, I got back into Echo Bazaar. Everyone else was doing mobile games, so I figured I should too.
that is the browser-based kind of mystery Victorian kind of game, right?
Yeah, it's Gothic Victorian. Actually, I think what it kind of reminds me of is I've also been reading Discworld.
Okay.
And it's kind of got, those are so good.
It's kind of got that approach to like dark humor. So you know, where the people just sort of lack a normal sense of self-preservation and are all slightly psychopaths.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of that thing. So, you know, one of the things is, you know, London's been transported to the underworld, so the river Thames or whatever runs straight through hell. So death's no longer permanent, meaning that Jack the Ripper's kills are considered entertainment, and I recently solved a murder investigation by interviewing the victim. but I've really been enjoying it. They you know, the basic flow of the game was where you choose a story, select various actions that are unlocked based on your stats. But they've changed up so that now a lot of the actions, a lot of the stats you gain rise and fall based on your the decisions you've made in previous stories. So like in one of the story arcs, I was investigating people having their souls stolen. And when I finally found the person responsible, I selected the option to kill them in such a way that they couldn't come back from hell and come back to life. Think like Breaking Bad style.
Okay.
So, you know, say now I get a story where, you know, say like I track down someone who's running a protection racket.
Mm-hmm.
I might have the option to, you know, use my persuasion trait to suggest they cut me in on the profits, or I could call in past favors with the constables to have them arrested. But, you know, since I did that previous mission or story or whatever, I might have the option to use the fact that I'd permanently murdered someone to intimidate them into, you know, leaving the shop owners alone. So it's a thing where the actual gameplay is very, very simple, but the way your actions interact with each other makes it really, really addictive and fun.
Okay.
Nice.
My question for you, you know, I know games like Kingdom of Loathing, which this obviously takes a lot of inspiration from. They add a lot of stuff. I mean, is most of this content, has it been there since the start, or are they just kind of, is this kind of just slowly kind of like creeping and expanding out?
See, you know, it's constantly being updated. One of the big things I've noticed actually is they've gone back and added a lot more of kind of the cross interaction between stories. So previously, you know, there might be a story I unlocked where my stealth ability was like 5 and now it's 40. And so previously, just that would just be a wasted story. There wouldn't be anything worthwhile to do. But they've now gone back and added a lot of things where, like, if I had completed, you know, say, recently, you know, some bank heist, maybe there would be a new option open in that story, stuff like that. So,
okay.
So yeah, they're continuously adding a lot of things and, you know, revising how it's set up.
Now, at the beginning of this, you said that this was a mobile game. Are you just playing this on a mobile browser on your phone, or have they made an app for this?
I guess I'm playing a mobile browser on my phone, although I guess mainly I say it's a mobile game because, you know, it's integrated with Twitter and Facebook optionally.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I guess I see annoying people on Facebook as basically a mark of a mobile game.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Did you guys take advantage? Speaking of annoying people, on Facebook and everything, did you guys take advantage of the Humble Bundle at all?
I actually have not yet. I need to get in and do that.
Yeah, no, I own literally every one of those games, but the soundtracks are enough for me to do, you know, to get those games. Just so you're listening, like if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, and basically anytime around the time of its release, it's available. It has Bastion, it has Amnesia the Dark Descent, it has Psychonauts, it has Limbo, and it has Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. There is nary a loser to be found in that bunch. And you get the soundtracks for all 5 of the games by downloading it. So
there's a lot better about that.
What's that?
I think with the original bundle, you could get like one of the soundtracks, and then with the second bundle, you could get like a couple of the soundtracks. Now they're really good about making sure you can get all the soundtracks.
Oh yeah, it's
great.
Well,
I mean, people have seen that's a thing that people actually care about.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, I bought the Sword and Sorcery soundtrack shortly after I picked up the game, and that's why I said the, you know, bothering people, because that was a big controversy when Sword and Sorcery came out. But I bought that soundtrack for $10 off of iTunes, you know, right after I got the game. You know, kind of the same thing. I was about to buy the Bastion soundtrack recently, but it's like I can get all these games again and then also get Amnesia and Psychonauts and Limbo, those soundtracks as well.
I'd like to see some of the actual you know, studios break out a couple of their like really, really old games and create a bundle, I think that would be kind of cool.
That happens on GOG sometimes. Like they'll do like bundles and sales and things like that. But
can I just say that I absolutely love that, you know, E3 was yesterday, and the two things that come out first in natural conversation are the Humble Indie Bundle and Good Old Games. Like, that's awesome.
Well, I tweeted that last week, right? And it made me sound it made me sound kind of like a pretentious twat. But I said, you know, my favorite thing about modern gaming is how accessible retro games are. Which
that's because you're a hipster.
Like I said, it makes me sound like a pretentious twat, but I shouldn't say that. You know, sorry, I shouldn't say that's derogatory.
Hi, Mom.
No, it's not even that, but it's, yeah, I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable saying that. It makes me sound pretentious.
there you go.
Yeah, there
double
we are.
Pretension power.
Yeah. No, but just but that's that holds true. Speaking of E3, why don't we jump into this and talk about how nonplussed we are?
Yeah, really.
I love the level of pretension we're getting here.
Yeah. God damn it. Okay. So going with the prescribed order that we agreed upon, or that I forced upon us, everybody on Pinboard here. Yeah, so Nintendo had their press conference, and as expected, they announced several details about the Wii U.
Wii U.
Not the price or the release date, but sure, a bunch of games. So, you know, we have a whole big list here that we can kind of go up and down. I want you guys to call stuff out, you know, kind of as you see it. Kind of one of the bigger hardware announcements that they made was that you can have two controllers at once now, like two of the game pads on one system, whereas that was a big limitation from before.
If anyone wants to spend $300 it's going to take to buy one of these things?
I don't know. That's one of the things that bugged me about them not announcing a price, because I want to know if the Wii U comes out at more than $300, they are boned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like they can't afford to do more than that. They
See,
can't.
That's... I keep hoping. My goal for the Wii U, is just for Nintendo to realize that they need to stop making consoles.
I saw a tweet earlier today that said, "Man, I can't wait to play a Mario game on Microsoft's Xbox 720."
So you guys are wanting them to go full Sega.
I don't know if I want them to, but it seems like they're trying. Like, go ahead.
I was going to say, full Sega, if Sega then continued making noteworthy Sonic games.
Yeah, that's true. yeah, wish that disappointment on anybody. No, you've had something to say for about 5 minutes. Go ahead.
I'm trying. No, I was going to say that the most notable thing about this really impressive roster of games that they've got thrown up here is that I don't think any of these are going to be enough to get someone who owns a Wii as a casual gamer to buy a Wii U.
Okay, so there are two things here. They need to try and bottle that lightning twice. That I mean they need to fool the exact same amount of housewives into buying this thing into buying this one as they did into buying the last one. Which that sounds sexist and derogatory or whatever, but they like just like they
we're
need
all
to,
about that.
They need to fool my mom into buying it. Like my mom bought a Wii, you know, like when it was full price, and they played it like two times. But that's where a lot of their growth came from. I mean, and they have stuff that like takes advantage of that. Like they have the new the Wii Fit U, which sounds weird. That's a sentence.
Here's the thing. It's a fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me kind of situation. They got everyone with this whole like the Wii is going to get you in shape, and we've talked about how that psychology of just adding a check in to get to a game that you want to play is going to help a lot. But the mom's bought into that the first time, mm-hmm. and I guarantee you that Wii balance board is off in a corner somewhere collecting dust. And
yeah.
Or it's off in a shelf at a GameStop somewhere collecting dust.
Yeah.
Or it's on Craigslist.
I never got how people thought that was going to work.
Well, no, I mean, like, okay, so here's the thing, like EA Active, that worked for me. Like,
I guess,
as ridiculous as that sounds, like that did work. But I don't know that the trailer for We Fit You, again, it's strange for a title to be a sub for to be a sentence like that. Like I watched the trailer for that, and it looked like fine. It looked more like a game than We Fit did.
I don't know. This is coming from someone who does standing meditation. I don't get how the balance. I just don't get how that's supposed to work.
This is coming from somebody who does sitting meditation. So yeah, they announced some upgrades to the Wii U gamepad too. Like instead of having the 3DS disc, analog disc as it were, it actually is going to have analog sticks that'll click in. You know, like other modern systems. That is a step up.
Yeah, it's only two generations late, but welcome to the party.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, looking through all of these games, the thing that strikes me is so many of them seems like the headline should be Nintendo fanboys finally get to play the games everyone else played several years ago.
And that's a big problem, right? Because
I mean, a lot of these are good games. They are just old.
The two biggest ones that I'm looking at, the ones that I gathered to talk about here, and we can kind of offer our thoughts. However, these are games that neither of you have played, so you would be able to pick up a Wii U and play them. Batman Arkham City, the Armored Edition is coming out. That's the Game of the Year edition with all the DLC. That one's coming to the Wii U when it comes out, you know, more than 1 year after the initial launch of the thing. And Mass Effect 3 was shown in kind of a best of the rest kind of montage as coming out for the system.
So here's my question. When that is going to be sitting new on a shelf for Wii U at $60, and there will be a price dropped or, you know, what do they call on Microsoft? It's greatest hits for Sony.
Platinum.
It's going to be sitting next to it for, you know, $30 on the other two consoles. Is anyone really going to go for that $60 version?
You can't see this on the podcast, but I'm touching my nose.
I don't know. It's a nice idea, and it's great to be like, hey, we can play real games now. But that just means in I don't know. What do you guys think? 1 or 2 years when the next round of consoles comes out. I can't imagine it's going to be much longer before they start talking about it, like E3. The Wii U is just going to be a little more than a blip on the radar.
We'll get to this when we talk about the other, you know, companies and their shit. But like they were the only people who brought the new hardware heat this year.
See, why I don't understand is, as far as I've seen, Nintendo is the only one that hasn't really done much of the indie thing, which seems weird because indie games are noteworthy for generally having much less, smaller. Is that system requirements?
Yeah.
Which means they could potentially run on their hardware.
Well, no, they've tried it. Like they've done the Wii Shop Channel kind of stuff. I forget what they called it.
Yeah, but your mom doesn't know how that works.
Yeah, no, but I do, and it looked like a perfectly serviceable version of of World of Goo.
Sure.
I don't know. I see exactly what you're saying, but the thing is, like, them being the only the only next gen console at holiday this year, you know, that might actually, like, it might fool people into it.
I feel like that will work well for their target market because you know, their target market isn't going, you know, is it seems like probably a lot of the Wiis were bought for like Christmas, stuff like that.
And that's still the launch window. Holiday is still the launch window for this thing.
God, could you imagine if something happened to make them miss that? How horrible that would be.
Oh,
like, I agree with your thought. That's probably going to be the saving grace of the console, and it's very smart on Nintendo's part. But you're really putting all your eggs in one basket there.
It'd be the death knell. I mean, and you know, if you think about why the Wii succeeded in the first place, it was because of the media blitz. You know, when the Today Show and Good Morning America want to go to a GameStop with some cameras and talk about mm-hmm. like, you know, the you know, what's hot this holiday season, they're not going to be talking about the Kinect and how you can run Internet Explorer on it. You know, yeah. they're not going to be doing that. Like,
hey, remember the frustration you felt the last time you opened up Internet Explorer? Wouldn't you just like to get that in more places?
Remember the last time you opened up Internet Explorer, you know, to download and install Chrome? So yeah, that's going to be the one thing. Now Nintendo, they brought some of their own heat to this too. Like they announced some you know, some stuff of their own, a new Pikmin game, which seems like a good fit, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the more detail, bigger stages, and you know a touch screen seems not like a natural fit for the real time strategy game kind of thing. They also announced New Super Mario Brothers U, which is 5-player instead of 4-player, and the person who has the gamepad is actually going to be able to draw platforms for other people to jump on.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be fun if it was online, so you could use that to grief people.
Couch griefing. I mean, anybody who's played New Super Mario Brothers with somebody on the couch, there is a lot of fun in couch griefing.
Oh yeah, and I think that's it. Keeps it non mean spirited as well. You know, you kind of get real time feedback on how far you can push it and how much you can toe that line. Without just getting someone to drop out on you and quit.
Yeah.
My thing, the only person I know or knew that owned a Wii was the people I did martial arts with. So the real-time feedback was often not a good idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, they announced a Mario game. That's what they need, right? You know, just short of announcing a Zelda game for it, that's what they need.
Here's what gets me though, is like, you know, they're actually regressing towards how it was in the beginning with, you know, the New Super Mario Bros. It kind of got back to the old school roots. And it's a great game. I love it and everything like that. But how many times are they going to sell us this game before we realize like, hey, I can just get a ROM of the original Mario game and get essentially the same thing.
But if they make it something that's unique to the system and unique to the experience, right?
Yeah, I guess they do, you know, do some things to mix it up, but there's only so many times I can shake my controller to fly instead of pushing a button to fly, and it just kind of loses its luster really quick.
Yeah. The other kind of like mainstream Nintendo game, and I think, you know, there's a little bit to talk about with this, is Nintendo Land, which is think like Wii Sports was, like a tech demo for like how to use the unique functions of the Wii controller, you mm-hmm. know. So it takes place in an amusement park that's like themed after a bunch of different Nintendo properties.
So how is this not like a Mario Party? I guess there's people from other actual franchises. Mario Party only had the Mario people.
Yeah, but, yeah. I think the more
it seems like a minigame collection.
The more pertinent question is, why is this being sold alongside it and not being packed into the fucker?
Yeah, that's what worked.
Also,
for
Also, why
time.
Is there not a Mario Party game?
They just released like Mario Party 9, and it was like super bad.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that yeah. seems to be the like they cannot make a good Super Mario Party game anymore, and I'm not sure why. Like with mobile gaming, buzzword of the day. the kind of like the little mini game experience seems to have been perfected, and you know, people just seem to be getting better at it. So how can they still manage to make it so bad?
Well, they've
I mean they had WarioWare.
They've ruined okay, there we go. You stole my one point, but they've ruined all their credibility by putting out 9 of the goddamn things.
Yeah.
You know?
That works for Madden.
I guess it does, but I don't know. Football is a game that's been around for 100 years. How many times can you jump rope? How many times can you play jump rope with some fireballs? You know, like that's so angry. another big thing about the Wii U, it won't be a slouch in the media department. It's going to have Netflix. It's going to have Hulu Plus, and it is going to have Amazon Prime Video as well. Which isn't a surprise. That seems to be just like a requirement You know, right?
Yeah, it seems honestly, to be pretty standard coming to everyone.
Most of the people I know that own Wiis use them as a very expensive Roku.
That's what my brother uses his for.
No, I'll vouch for that. My in-laws do the same thing.
Yeah.
They probably haven't played a game on their Wii in a year.
Now, I want to talk about the kind of two killer apps, like the most exciting things that I saw about the Wii U, and I want to know if you guys have any thoughts on these. Have you seen the trailers or the kind of use case scenarios for Zombie U?
I saw the trailer. Shortly.
You will shortly. Okay, Zombie U. And no, that is not a university for zombies. It's a game that's being developed by Ubisoft. It's a first-person survival horror game that basically like takes full advantage of the Wii remote or of the Wii gamepad. So like you can.
So I saw the trailer. I didn't see any actual gameplay footage for it.
Right, the trailer was kind of cool. I mean, it kind of aped Dead Island just a little bit by doing the whole frozen weird time aspect. There's a different video of it. If you click on the link in there, you can see it. I'd recommend you not do it while we're talking on the show. But it shows a bunch of different ways that it like takes advantage of it. So like hacking like like door pads, you know, for entering numbers and putting in different combinations, for rummaging through your inventory, for sniping as kind of like an AR kind of thing. You hold it up and you do that. It looks pretty neat. It looked like the mature game that was going to take advantage of everything that it did, kind of like Ubisoft did with Red Steel on the Wii, except good. except it looks like it's going to be good. Yeah.
So don't compare this to that because
same,
I almost heard Sega in the distance.
Then you shuddered. And then let me see here. The team behind DJ Hero, they are bringing out a game that is currently called Sing, where the gamepad screen will play will have lyrics, and it's a karaoke game, and you sing and dance along to it. I think that
which is nice. Like, okay, yeah. Another party game. That's nice.
Yeah.
It's about all you can say about these things, though.
See, I love how nonplussed we are. Like, I look back last year, I was up on it. Like, I was all about it. And, you know, still this year, this is the most exciting press conference I saw. The most exciting articles that I read. But
for the Wii?
For the Wii U, yeah.
Hmm.
I didn't see anything else that, like, you know, got my motor going more than this did.
I think the differences between, like, Guitar Hero and the Sing thing is you don't have to be good at Guitar Hero for Guitar Hero not to be annoying. You have to know how to sing for you singing not to be annoying.
Oh, you need to go to karaoke. That is not true at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enough.
Drunk, but I thought. But we've already said.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
We've already said, you know, housewives and small children.
Well, housewives. I mean, you know, so there's at least partially that market. Okay. No, I'm just wondering the first time one of these controllers is going to wind up in the TV. I mean, we've all seen the videos of someone putting a small Wii controller into the TV. You can really do some damage with these things.
Yeah, I think people are gonna, you know, if something feels expensive, you're gonna be careful with it.
And I guarantee you, this thing's gonna be expensive.
I don't know. I don't know. Let's. I'll take a guess. I'm gonna say it's going to be $80.
Oh, I will be very surprised if it goes for less than $100.
Okay, I was gonna say $100, but I wanted to be controversial and drop it by $20.
Yeah, I
think. Go ahead, man.
I would say around 100, probably. Depending on how much, how many peripherals they can con you into buying.
They're gonna keep selling the Wii remotes because those will work on it, which I think is nice. That's a good touch.
Yeah, that's smart.
Go ahead.
I'm still upset that I've never seen a game where you use the nunchuck controller as a nunchuck. That's sort of a sore point for me.
It just seems irresponsible to me.
Yeah.
Let's take a brief digression here into 3DS land. Speaking of, New Super Mario Bros. 2 is going to be coming. You know, it's going to be coming out to the 3DS this summer. Exactly what it sounds like. You know, it kind of seems redundant with Super Mario 3D Land being out and available there. But more exciting than that is Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon is coming out this holiday season on the 3DS, making each and every one of us as happy as could be. What's that?
New Super Mario's 2?
Yes.
Isn't that a oxymoron?
I think so. They didn't think too far ahead. Not going to lie. By calling it new. So yeah,
I never played the original Luigi's Mansion, and I didn't see the trailers for this game. So, help me understand. Should I be excited for this? Is this anything to watch out for?
Yeah. It's great. You're basically a Ghostbuster, wandering through this kind of Metroid style mansion, or Castlevania style mansion in this case, rather. You know all that, and you hunt down and seek out ghosts. And you have to wrangle them in and collect them and get coins by getting them. It's nice and simple, but it's like atmospheric. Like you wouldn't expect a Mario horror game, but there it is, you know?
And it's also, I mean, each of the ghosts, you have to figure out their puzzle to make them vulnerable.
Yeah.
Just a long string of booze.
Well, no, there's the booze, but then there's actual, like, ghost people.
Mm-hmm.
So like one of them, you go into the mansion's like game room, and there's like a ghost pool player. So you have to like use the vacuum to suck and get one of his balls, and then shoot it into the pocket, and that makes him vulnerable. Wow! But it's like someone combined like made a puzzler fishing game and added ghosts.
That is incredibly apt. you guys sound pretty down on Nintendo, possibly rightfully so. But let's go over here. There's comparatively a lot more to talk about there than at any of the other press conferences.
Yeah, I would say they did a great job of nailing like having a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just quantity over quality, maybe in this instance.
I don't even know about quality. I mean, I know that I was the person who gathered the stories. I know that, but I'm looking at the likes of the different lists that I have here, and it's like, wow.
Can I call one out, actually?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't read this before, so this is kind of one of those things I read and was incredibly confused. Wii U pedometer.
Yeah, it's kind of like the PokeWalker, except it'll work with Wii Fit.
Okay, I guess I'm seeing two use cases. Either A, it's for people who pace back and forth across the living room once, or B, I'm seeing people like carrying a TV and Wii U boombox style.
I guess.
I don't see game console and pedometer.
Yeah, well, no, it's supposed to track your your activity when you're not at the Wii Fit station.
Okay.
Yeah, which makes sense. I don't know. Let's talk about Sony. I didn't watch the press conference. Did you, Dennis?
I did. I ate every second of it up.
Okay, so you probably have more of a grasp on it than I do. I mean, I'm looking at a list of four articles that I found to be, pretty noteworthy. But why don't you kind of like walk us through here? Was there anything here that I missed?
Yeah, the one defining thing of the Sony press conference, which was the Wonder Book, and not in a good way.
What's a Wonder Book?
Yeah, tell me.
Oh God, I wish I knew. After all the time they spent on it, I'm not sure I could explain it to you. But it's essentially a pad that you open up in front of your TV, your PlayStation Eye, and it'll do kind of augmented reality stuff with it. But I think this was some inbred focus group decided that this is what's going to be the next big thing. They've got J.K. Rowling doing a Harry Potter type of thing for it. And they probably spent 20 minutes demoing it, and it did not work well. But they just kept on going with it. So it was they actually had some good momentum going into this demo. And it's like, oh, okay, cool, new peripheral. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, all right, this game is kind of getting a little too much attention. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, well, it's not even working. I think you guys need to cut your losses. and then 5 minutes later, I was, ready to put a gun to my head. They just, Jeez. I don't, you know, they, they came out at the beginning. I thought it was really good. Jack Trenton, which is their CEO of their Sony Computer Entertainment division, like, he opened up by saying, you know, like, we really want to focus on you, the gamers, and we know people are going to be talking about, quote unquote, who won E3. And so we really want to bring you the best stuff. And I was like, wow, that's really self-aware, and they seem to be delivering on it. And then they just went off into peripheral land. It was ridiculous. It was almost like you were watching an elaborate practical joke.
When the Move was first announced, the thing that I heard said about it the most was it kind of looked like somebody's science fair project.
Yeah.
Just like they didn't choose the right stuff to say about it. And looking at the articles, like on Engadget, like right now looking at it, that's what this looks like to me.
Oh, yeah. And they didn't even have the sense to have... Oh, go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, I like the idea of augmented reality. You know, the idea that, you know, you can be like walking around and having this screen that, you know, can show you all this core information and stuff. But when I'm in front of a TV, the one thing I'm not lacking is a screen that can show me all this core information.
It's augmented reality. If reality was everything that was in sight of your TV, which for some people I understand is the case, but, you know? Like, when the 3DS does something better than your fucking $400 system does, like, maybe rethink it.
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't even have the good sense to have kids demo it when they did their live demo that malfunctioned. Yeah. Like, you know, if you have kids doing it, you know, with Microsoft doing Kinect, it was really corny and stupid. But at least when the program screwed up, you could be like, oh, it's, you know, kids, you know, have trouble, that's cute. No, they had grown-ass adults sitting in front of this book playing a Harry Potter game and unable to make it work. It was the most awkward
thing. Watching a kid being a shitty Jedi is funny. I'm sorry, David.
Yeah.
I love that you just suggested that you need to have kids demo it. That way, if it doesn't work, you can blame it on them. I completely support that.
God. Man, I saw not a single article about this. Like, I went on a huge binge. It's like, we're going to do our E3 extravaganza today. Nothing. Like, I must have glossed over it because it seems like such a non-thing.
You probably repressed it.
Actually, the technology sounds kind of cool. Like,
but the technology is not new. I mean, we all remember when Eye of Judgment took the world by storm, and you know, you can't walk into anybody's house without seeing an Eye of Judgment table set up right in front of their TV, so they can play their cards with their friend in Vietnam. You know, just like why recover that ground? You know,
there's a story in that sentence somewhere.
this is Eye of Judgment 2.0. You know. So, and I'm really glad J.K. Rowling. Oh, and by the way, J.K. Rowling could not have phoned it in more, because she didn't even phone it in. She had a quote that I'm sure a Sony exec wrote for her, placed up on screen, and made no other sort of appearance at the conference.
So they brought J.K. Rowling out onto the stage and had her stand in front of a screen with a quote that somebody wrote for her, and people clapped and she walked off.
No, she wasn't even there. They just showed her quote.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, so wait a minute. She didn't even phone it in. She texted it in.
Yeah, she literally had someone else text it in for her.
Okay, I was gonna say. I mean, if you think about somebody who like doesn't have to live anymore, is J.K. Rowling, right? You know, her shit's done. She doesn't have to work a day in her life again. She basically. Like, let's put her on suicide watch, because I'd be very worried. There's nothing left for her to do. But yeah, that was kind of dark. I'm sorry.
I think J.K. Rowling can take it. She'll just go swim in her money for a little bit and feel better about herself.
I'm just jealous.
But I guess the thing that that's the negative that Sony did, right? And it was bad.
So do you have to buy a new book for every game? Is this like is this like the Game Boy Advance e cards?
Wait, say again.
Do you have to buy a new book for every game, or is it one book that the PlayStation Eye recognizes?
No, it's one book, 1,000 stories, according to their tagline.
Oh God, I want to shoot this thing into the sun. Ugh.
No, it's literally a poster board.
it's not even a book. I could make this. I could print this bullshit out.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm gonna close this tab. I'm very angry.
Yeah, no. So let's focus on what Sony did right, because they, damn it, Sony, I love you, but you do the stupidest things. This is right up there with the racist PSP ad. You guys
Oh,
familiar with that?
yeah, with the white lady, like
Choke slamming a black lady.
yeah.
What?
There were billboards that were over in Europe. Let me
Oh, well.
I'll do the Google image.
Oh, it was Europe. That's okay. But so the one thing that I thought was most intriguing to me about the Sony conference, and I thought this was really done right and done uniquely right, was crossplay. Now, not screen sharing. Let me be very clear. Microsoft won the whole screen sharing thing,
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
because they said, screw these, tablets that aren't tablets. We're just going to let you interact with the thing that you have. And that was the smartest move of E3, in my opinion.
Oh, do not search for crossplay. Do not image search for crossplay. I did not think that one through.
Like a child who touches the stove. You know?
Oh God. No, okay, so to be very clear.
If I stopped you, I'd be a bad mom.
Maybe I need to rephrase here. Being able to play the same game on two different systems and to be able to play, for example, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, to have half of your players on the PlayStation 3 and the other half of the players playing on the Vita. I thought that was a really good idea.
Was this the thing that they did with Little Big Planet, where you could use your PS Vita as a PlayStation 3 controller and do kind of like fine level adjustment controls on the screen?
So there is that, and that was surprisingly kind of brushed under the carpet. They just kind of said, "Oh yeah, and there's going to be a DLC pack, and there will be crossplay." So those there will be play between systems. Damn it, David, you just ruined a word for me. But
Oh, it even has a Wikipedia article.
this is what this night is about now. No, so those two kind of interact, but what really impressed me was when you could play the same game together, and so not like some crappy sub, mini game within the real PlayStation game. This was the full-blown game on both systems that you could just play, kind of a platform agnostic. So they did Battle Royale that way. There was one other game that they showed at E3 that was like that, and I'm blanking on what it was. But then just a whole bunch of PSN titles are going to be that way as well. And I think being able to do that and being able to kind of not only play with people regardless of what platform they're on, but being able to start a game, on your home system, throw that save over to your Vita, and then take it with you to, the bus or what have you, is really, really smart. And that was something they did particularly well.
Dude, PlayStation Network needs to get Gauntlet Legends, because that would be a lot of fun doing that.
Ooh. Is it a, sorry, not familiar, is it a PS1 game or is it?
It's like an old arcade game. And
Oh, okay.
then was
Oh, I know
on
what
like
you're talking
every
about. Yeah,
it's
system.
like three, it's like 3D. It did come out for PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
So,
good.
mentioning PlayStation 1 games, there's a whole slew of them that are coming to Vita.
Yeah, which is I almost thought about getting a Vita, but then I looked and I was like, okay, does that play PS1 classics? Because that is, again, going back to my adage, that was like one of the main things that made me want a PSP was like, okay, can I play PS1 games on it? I'd be willing to buy a Wild Arms again if I could play it, on the can. But you couldn't,
Wild Arms on the K.
and that was such a glaring hole in the feature set. Why not? You know,
Yeah.
but now you can, and it looks great.
Yeah, they've got it together. And so that's good to see. The other thing that's exciting is they, and this is again a non-game announcement, which really there was surprisingly little in terms of actual games to talk about. There were
There were two big ones.
two big ones. But anyway, there's also they're kind of redoing, not redoing, but upping the game for PlayStation Plus, and there were, I believe, 12 free games available starting this month for members. No change in price, anything like that, including three pretty blockbuster titles, available now. And it was probably the largest round of applause that night that they said everyone in the room gets a free year of PlayStation Plus, and people went wild for free stuff.
You get a car, and you get a
Yeah.
car.
Yeah. And it was cool to see them do that. And actually, for the first time, I started thinking about the PlayStation Plus membership as a substitute for, say, a Gamefly, or just as a substitute for buying games in general. Like, it's always been this nice supplement to gaming, but I think with what they've done, they've made it an actual alternative. As long as you don't mind playing games that have been out for a little bit, and if you're like me, you're always a couple of years behind the trend anyway. This would be a perfectly reasonable alternative, and I think as long as you maintain your membership, you get access to all the free games. So it's not just there for a month and then gone, and they swap it out with something else. You get that entire library, and I'm not sure if that's retroactive. So like, once you sign up.
I was gonna say, is this ex post facto? Like, if I sign up, do I get, if I sign up in June, do I get Maze Reward?
That is, see, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
And gosh, if that is true, then signing up now, you could get a pretty impressive library of
Yeah.
games.
Well, it's $5 a month.
Yeah, and that's
Oh,
amazing.
that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see a reason not to.
Yeah, and I've said this in the past, PlayStation Plus, I think Sony stumbled ass backwards into it, but they have a pretty good setup there, and this just continues to improve it.
I don't know.
See,
Good.
I think PlayStation Plus for me, I feel like, I don't know, I have an irrational, like, emotional thing with it just because, at least when, as far as I was aware, basically this was the feature they introduced right after they got hacked. Or at the very least, I
No,
mean,
it
I
was
think it
well
came out
before it.
before that, but then they gave what
Oh, yeah.
everyone. So I should more say that was when, at least from what I've seen, like people actually realized it was a thing.
It's
So.
dirty money, essentially.
Right.
This was bribe money, which, yeah, it's kind of the worst awareness building campaign, but probably the one
Exactly.
positive for Sony.
You didn't know this thing. You didn't know this was a thing until, your identity was stolen.
Right.
Like we did. Speaking of identities, we didn't actually like reveal the three biggest games that they're giving away. They're giving away Little Big Planet 2, Infamous 2, and Saints Row 2. So
Yes.
the
Nice.
three twos. And the one that I'm most excited about there, even though I already own it, is Saints Row 2, because it means that it's not just going to be Sony games that they're giving out.
Yes, and
Oh,
that's
that's true.
exciting.
Yeah. No, I mean,
So,
I might like go do this so I can play Little Big Planet 2 finally.
oh, and tell me if you do, because I'll join you. That's a game that's best enjoyed with someone else, I think.
Yeah,
That's
I
true.
actually can you download that thing?
I don't think there's any other way unless they mail you the disc.
Yeah, no,
No, I mean rather can you just go like
Yeah, I think you can just go
Yeah,
on
you
the
can go turn it
dashboard
on
and
right
say
now.
like, "Hey,
Oh, okay.
let me have this thing. I want it."
Just be prepared to deal with Sony's horrible download system.
Yeah, I think it's like $17.99 for 3 months. So,
Wait, how is the what's up with the download system?
just it's super intrusive and takes forever. It's slow is the main part.
Well, why don't we talk about the big games? Just because that's I mean, I see at least one here that I'm super hype about, but.
Yeah, so we'll do a compliment sandwich. All right, we'll talk about one of the really good ones. We'll talk about the mediocre one, and then we'll finish with one of the really good ones.
Okay, I'm gonna have you lead with the first really good one because I think you know more about it than I do.
You want
Yeah,
me
I
to start
think
with
we're
The
going
Last of
to
Us then, instead
disagree.
of Beyond?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So The Last of Us, they obviously is no secret anymore, but they came out with the first kind of extended gameplay trailer. And this was what they ended the conference on, and I was absolutely blown away by it. So for anyone who's been living under a rock, The Last of Us is the next outing from Naughty Dog, the makers of Uncharted. It is a kind of survival game. I won't necessarily call it a survival horror game, but we don't know that much about it, so it might be. But, you know, it's post-apocalyptic world. There is this virus that essentially creates zombies. I mean, it's glorified zombies, let's be honest. And you are a grizzled man trying to survive in this world who somehow finds himself kind of towing along a young girl who's grown up in these essentially prison camps that keep people...
So it's Metal Gear Solid 2? Sorry. Maybe.
So it's Enslaved?
Maybe.
Go on.
Stop it. I'm excited about this game.
No. No, it looks amazing. I just
It does look.
What struck me about this is, so they showed the actual gameplay, and in terms of how mechanically it works, it looked very similar to Uncharted. In that, you know, you're moving from cover to cover. There's a lot of contextual animation that's very well done, and you're kind of doing stop and pop shooting to get through various ruined buildings. So, you know, in concept, that sounds very much like Uncharted 3. The one major difference is that where watching Uncharted 3 is like watching an Indiana Jones movie, where, you know, you're kind of getting the bad guys, and there's almost this jovial feel to it, even in the scarier parts. This one feels like watching some kind of documentary. Really? And I won't even describe it as like gritty or brutal, more than I would describe it as realistic. It just, you know, after you, within the space of the demo, they got into a fight where he killed probably five people. And at the end of it, I was just like, oh my God, I just watched a guy kill five people. Like, there was nothing like, oh, cool, or like, yeah, I got him about it. It was just, wow, that just happened. He had to do that to survive.
Was he killing five people who were affected by the stand virus, or was he killing like five other like survivors that were coming after his horde?
Other survivors.
Okay.
And that's the greatest thing, is Naughty Dog has said straight up, like, yeah, we've got these zombies in there, but that's we do not want that to be the focus. Like, that's why the first trailer they showed them is that they said we didn't want any secrecy around them. We just wanted to put them out there and kind of let people forget them as quickly as possible, because the true meat of this game comes in the interaction between humans after this. And that's a really interesting thing.
I'm kind of like disappointed that they're relying on shooting as being the main verb of this game.
Well, and it remains to be seen, is what I'll say, because you can only carry four bullets at a time.
How does that work?
From what I saw in the demo, there's only slots for four bullets, and once those are gone, you have to go, you know, scavenge more. Now, okay. Again, I don't know if that's...
This takes place in Pennsylvania.
I could be dead wrong about that, but they've said that they really want you to have to stop and think about every single shot that you fire,
right,
whether it's worth it. So I think the close-up combat will be much more of a focus. But whereas, you know, Uncharted had these kind of snazzy finishing moves and kind of brawling combat, this is really just now I will use the words gritty and brutal. you're smashing people's heads into the sides of desks. You know, you're hitting them with a lead pipe. At one point, you get tackled and you're starting to be choked to death. And the girl, I want to say her name is Ellie, but I'm not sure. She comes up, just runs up behind and stabs a knife into the guy's back. And, you know, my favorite moment from the demo was, you kind of improvise a Molotov cocktail and you throw it and hit one of the guys and it catches him on fire. And so he's, you know, he's screaming, and you get the, you know, kind of clear the way for him, and you're running into another room to get away. And you just hear this little girl go, "Jesus, Joel." And she's like genuinely freaked out and scared and appalled at what you've just done. Mm-hmm. And you like growl, you're like, "Keep it together," and like, keep moving. And just that gave me chills, like to see that genuine interaction in the midst of what could otherwise be a fairly bland or generic, at least, shooter scene was really, really cool. So I was just blown away by the I mean, it's Naughty Dog doing what they do best, right? And I can't wait for this game.
Yeah, if they can bring emotional weight to killing somebody in a video game, then bravo, I guess.
Yeah,
that's more than anybody would expect. You know.
Yeah, actually, and that brings me to the biggest question that I had when the demo ended. So the way the demo ends is, you know, you're kind of fighting this guy. He's trying to kill you. You wrest a shotgun out of his hands and knock him down, and you kind of pull up and take aim at his head, and he just starts begging for his life. And the trailer ends with a gunshot sound and the screen goes blank. So presumably you shot him. But the biggest question I had was, what would happen if I didn't shoot him? I didn't want to shoot him. You know, what would happen if I left him there on his knees? Is there any other way out of that situation? And so to create a shooting game in which you don't want to shoot someone, I think is a true accomplishment.
Yeah.
And for reasons other than that the controls suck.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, not like Uncharted 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I just post-apocalyptic has been done so much, but I don't know. I'm waiting for my chance to play The Stand or to play The Road. You know, like if you're playing The Road, you've got a gun and two bullets, one for you and one for your son if the cannibals get you. Mm-hmm. and that's it. So you saying the four bullet thing, that kind of resonated with
me.
See,
that just the four bullet thing just strikes me as unrealistic, but most people I know have more ammunition than that in their car.
Yeah.
But most people, I live in Alabama.
Okay.
None of the post-apocalyptic games I can think of though were survival games.
But is this are you like looking in, you know, old cellars for canned food that, you know, is indented and bloated?
See, that's no, I don't think it's that level, and primarily that's probably because it wouldn't be a fun game, you know.
Yeah, but I mean that's what Fallout is, but you know, never mind.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and Fallout was a fun game, so I stand corrected.
Fallout New Vegas on survival mode, that's what that game was. not survival, but hardcore rather. Yeah.
Was that where you got like radiation super quick and
you got radiation super quick blah blah blah, what am I thinking of here? Ammo had weight and you had to you had gauges for your hunger, thirst, and sleep.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I would be very, very interested. So, you know, obviously that makes it relatively inaccessible if that's the only way you can play it, but I would be very interested to see them do a mode like that in The Last of Us.
I was just gonna say, I'll actually, at least, I feel like that for me would, if it wasn't like that, would almost be a deal breaker for the game.
If it did require that, or
if it did not require that,
okay.
Well, just because, you know, if it's a game built around, you know, conflict with other survivors. That's interesting if it's things like people fighting over food, you know, stuff for that, like actual realistic things. It's not interesting if it's just the general video game thing of, you know, everyone just for some reason hates you and kills you on sight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean the world is not completely gone to crap. Basically the government has decided to cut its losses, and so they have these kind of camps that that have some semblance of society, but as I said earlier they're essentially prison camps.
It's FEMA.
And so you are, what's that?
It's FEMA.
yeah that's exactly what it is. And and so traveling in between them, I think you meet these bands of people who make their living off of preying on others, kind of highway robbers, think of it as. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they're going to use you for food is not clear yet. I would not rule that out as a possibility. They're certainly out to get you. Motivation's not clear yet, though.
I guess what I'm saying is I would want to be able to prey on others. I feel like that's would be the type of thing that would make the game really
society would be gone for like 5 minutes, and then there you go. Like that's what you would be. That's where you that's the direction you would head. Be very, very dark. Well, I think we've gotten a lot of mileage out of that. So let's go to the mediocre showing. Why not? Right?
Yeah. So we spent a lot of time gushing there. so let's spend very little time because it's not interesting. They showed God of War Ascension. It looks just like God of War's 1, 2, and 3, and this time without the huge graphical upgrade that 3 was. So there's really no reason to be excited about it.
When does this take place?
Unclear. He's got the whip chain things, and he's got magical powers. So
is it an interquel?
It's another God of War game, and okay. Honestly, I think the story is so many levels behind that thinking that who knows what they're inventing to take it back. I think it tells the story of how you became indentured to Ares, or maybe what you did shortly after becoming indentured to Ares. Probably the second, because that gives you the whip blade things to work with.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're not going with the new pantheon?
Don't think so. I mean, basically God of War 1 starts with you killing your wife and child.
Right.
So that's probably the in-between of getting your powers and killing your wife and kid.
Ah.
So that's a happy game. Happy game.
Yeah. The big thing about this one is kind of the magically rebuilding destroyed scenery, a la Red Faction, Armageddon / Guerrilla, and Epic Mickey.
The problem is that that's not anything new or interesting. Like, that's not a big thing. That's like, in the most relative terms, a big thing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing new or interesting about that. Like you said, you just listed 3 games that have done it before. It doesn't even really fit into Kratos's oeuvre or like fit into his MO. Like, why is he doing that? Why is that an interesting thing for him to do?
He's about destroying, not rebuilding.
Right, and it's like it's not even a platformer. So, it's just, if you like God of War, great. You got a couple more trophies to get by playing God of War, but otherwise, there's no reason to pay attention to this.
See, it's funny because like I don't know anybody who's more like pro God of War than you.
I really enjoyed the third one. It was a great time. It just is not worth another outing without significant innovation, and they didn't have significant innovation.
Yeah, they're firing the cannon indoors.
Basically.
Yeah.
See, I'm kind of disappointed. The one thing I was looking forward to it was seeing what pantheon they went with next and how they made the jump. So I feel like they're kind of punting.
Yeah, this is the way video games do, is you get three sequels, or an original game, 2 sequels, and then a prequel. Devil May Cry cut it down to a prequel in the third game, so it was a slight deviation. But, and then you just do kind of, what'd you call it, an intrequel?
Interquel.
Interquel, there you go. You just kind of plug those in until people stop buying it.
That's what they're doing with Dark Tower.
Yep.
By the way, the Dark Tower graphic novels, thumbs up.
They're good. I saw them at a Half Price Books, and I did not spring for them.
So,
but I thought,
I know.
So amazing. So the last one, and the one that I am most excited about, the trailer for this is amazing.
Oh, yes.
And I really recommend that you go and take a look at it. It's the new game by Quantic Dream, which is the team that did Indigo Prophecy / Fahrenheit and Heavy Rain, and it is called Beyond Two Souls. And it looks to be really, really action based, and they're going back to kind of the paranormal roots of Indigo Prophecy, which, if you ignore the past, the last couple of hours, is a really good thing.
have you played Indigo Prophecy?
Me, yes.
Okay, I have not. So was that more action-y than Heavy Rain?
Yes, it was very action-y. Like, Heavy Rain had like a little bit of action, like when you were doing the jigsaw stuff. And then it had that one really incongruous scene where you straight up murder like 23 people at a party. and then there was like, it was mostly, feeding babies and stuff like that. Whereas Indigo Prophecy, there was a lot of like supernatural, like, running from the cops and things like that. And this looks to like jump right back into it. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to link the two, honestly. But
that'd be interesting.
You know, just kind of as the, you know, just like plot, because that's all these games are. Players control a woman named Jodie Holmes. She's modeled after slash played by Ellen Page through a tumultuous period in her life. She unlocks psychic powers. The government tries to capture her and keep her, you know, kind of under wraps. The big thing about that, you know, say what you will about Ellen Page, but she is a professional actor or actress, rather. And even if the people in Heavy Rain were professional, they weren't like professional A-list people. And the acting was one of the weakest parts of Heavy Rain. So if they're upping their talent, and if the end of the trailer that I saw is any indication, like the acting that they had in it, it was like a straight up suspense scene. Like, God, so amazing.
I just love that their big announcement was Ellen Page is going to be in it, and then for the first 5 minutes of the scene, it's her sitting there not doing any acting.
Well, no, she's
maybe
acting.
Doing all the acting.
She's acting. I mean, just there's this, you know, kind police officer who found her, you know, by the side of the road. She's mute, and you know, she's like, you know, doing silent reactions to what he says. You know, he's asking like, hey, do you have a name? Hey, did something happen? You know, hey, I brought you this coffee. You know, let me go look through the missing persons report. And she like telekinesis is a coffee, you know, the coffee mug into the wall. He's like, okay, I'm going to go into the other room now. And then the SWAT team comes and, you know, she like breaks free with her powers, which is like, it's kind of cool, but B, it kind of like, I don't know, like facial stuff doesn't look as good to me if it's not LA Noir now for some reason.
Yeah. And it's, I think that was the thing is just, you know, maybe there was a lot of nuance in Ellen's acting. I don't know how translated it was to that scene. It seemed like that was her big thing was just to be stoic. Interesting that you said she was the one who telekinesis'd the stuff. I got the impression that it was something else that was kind of following her.
Well, I mean, it's called Two Souls.
In some way attached to her.
At the end, she like makes an allusion to, I think they're coming for us, Ethan, or whatever the name is.
Ivan, yeah.
Come on, so,
Ivan, I think they get the message. Which, by the way, is what I'm going to say every time I exit a room from now on. Come on, Ivan, I think they get the message.
So I think that what they're trying to communicate was, like, she is being, you know, she is, like, possessed by this, or she is a vessel for this otherworldly force that is, you know, giving her these powers. So, like, when you say that, yeah.
I mean, I think it was just really cool. The presentation on that opened up with David Cage saying something to the effect of, you know, death is the final unknown in our society, and doing just a little bit of more of a philosophical monologue on, you know, what lies beyond and how different people react to that and how some people might be connected to it more than others. And it was just, you know, never would you think that a pitch for a video game would open up with that kind of high-minded stuff. And I think the one big thought I had, and other than the multi-platform play, the other thing that Sony really did right is they were the only ones, it seemed, that used mature gaming to mean anything but, you know, blood and boobies.
You tweeted that earlier.
Yes, indeed. And
so you weren't a fan of the God of War?
No, not at all. But you know, they really did seem to have an intent to just explore some deeper stuff, or to at least have more complicated and interesting narratives in their games versus, you know, Call of Duty 6.
Hasn't that kind of been the niche they've been at least trying to do for a while now?
Yeah, I think specifically with their PSN games, they've been kind of going after that. But I think overall, I'm very glad to see them going in that direction.
As far as games that were announced, like, you know, talking about games and not just like new technologies, those are the two games that those are the two things I'm most excited about for E3, I would say.
Yes. And I feel like proportionately we spent way more time in The Last of Us than on Beyond Two Souls.
There's more to say about that, though. I mean, like, it's going to be Heavy Rain. It's going to be that, you know, interactive cinema. You're going to be directing these scenes and acting in them at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, that, like, just like, what's there to say about it? Except that if you like that kind of thing, you're really, really going to love this.
See, yeah, I would encourage people to go see it for themselves.
Yeah.
See, I only played... I didn't have a system that could play it when Heavy Rain was current. So it became on my backlog or whatever. But I only played a little bit of Indigo Prophecy, but I found the interface with it, you know, the actual controls seemed really annoying. Was that something that stayed with it, or did you eventually get where you could do what you wanted pretty easy?
I mean, it has a learning curve. You know, Heavy Rain had a learning curve. You moved kind of strangely, just depended on your patience to pick it up.
Yeah, well, I was thinking more like the things where, like, you'd actually go to do something and they'd make you, like, play the little rhythm game thing.
Oh, Simon? Yeah, no, that's different in this. Like, this actually puts, like, diegetic button prompts in. So if somebody's, like, trying to stab you, and you need to press triangle to keep them from stabbing you, the triangle icon is over the knife. So, like, where
but
you would
be. But is it, like, always
looking.
Triangle?
Well, no, I've got no idea.
Okay.
That's just an example.
In Heavy Rain, though, how'd they do that?
Yeah, I mean, it was trying to recreate like the effort of what you would do. I never played it with a move, although apparently it was okay.
Okay.
Let's move on and talk a little bit about Microsoft stuff. Remember when I said like, you know, that was the best game and not the best new technology that was brought out? Microsoft had a really, really weak showing. I didn't watch
it. So I gathered, yeah.
I didn't watch their press conference, so there may have been stuff that I missed. But in combing through articles, trying to gather things for the show, I kind of just there was it was just wind blowing through a canyon, making a whistling sound, like that was it. You know, maybe a couple tumbleweeds here and there. The biggest game they kind of led with Halo 4, which. If you like Halo, I mean, great. I'm not gonna talk down about it. I kind of like what they're doing because you can like change visor types, like in Metroid Prime, including like a scanning visor. Which, you know, if at this point, you know, if you care about Halo lore, that's going to be everything you're all about. But
yeah,
you know,
when they
I feel like at this point.
Oh yeah, sorry, I thought we were transitioning.
Got the what? Oh yeah, I was just gonna say that. At this point with the Halo franchise, it feels like people are just buying the set of players online. Like you buy the new Halo 4 because that's what everyone's going to be playing online. If there was no Halo 4, you know, you'd still have your fix on Halo 3, and there's no real demand for a Halo 4. No one's asking for Halo 4, but since it's coming out, you're just going to have to put in some money to go get it.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Microsoft did that. They had Judgment, Gears of War Judgment or something like that.
I didn't even see anything about that, honestly. Nothing.
Neither did I. I just heard the name. It's another Gears of War.
And they're continuing to try to make Kinect a more integral part of their system by bringing Internet Explorer, everybody's favorite piece of software. to the machine. Like it's literally as simple as, "Hey, let's put the internet on your TV and, you know, You can say stuff and stuff will come up." I guess what I'm thinking is the Wii has a web browser, the PlayStation 3 has a web browser, and I have loaded up both of them once.
wait, did Microsoft 360 or did Xbox 360 not have a web browser?
Never had a web browser before.
Oh, I always just assumed that this was in place of whatever crappy web browser they had. Interesting.
No, it was web TV. It was web TV is what they had before.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, they're the only one that actually has a stake in making sure that you also own a computer.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. I don't know. And they also have a stake in making sure that your device uses Bing by default.
Okay. Can Bing die yet? Is it still a thing?
Nope, it's here for the long run. People be
Bing,
using it.
Bing is basically what libertarians use when they're afraid of Google spying on them. straight up. Like, I'm fairly certain that's its primary niche.
That's funny. So people are being forced to choose whether they trust Microsoft or Google more.
Yeah.
The coolest technology that they put out is one that's kind of the hardest to explain, the smart glass, which is essentially their way of trying to get people to buy Windows 8 compatible tablets. So it combines the aspects of like AirPlay mirroring from Apple TVs and iPads and iPhones and iPod touches and the Wii U gamepad stuff. So the way that they kind of like demonstrated that was like somebody playing Halo 4 and then they were like looking down at their tablet because it had a map or trying to do their like multiplayer matchmaking on that thing. Or I think they also demoed it by like having somebody watch like Game of Thrones. And then like you could look down and you would see information about the cast and crew or specific scenes or and it would like show a map of where particular people were in this physical location at that time. Mm-hmm. So trying to integrate your tablet with your Xbox.
I was just going to say, I feel like this is the exact same feeling I had for the Wonder Book. Tablets are great in scenarios where I don't have a giant screen in front of me, whereas consoles are great in scenarios where I have a giant screen in front of me.
Yeah, although we are the multi-screen generation. Like, I can't remember the last time I watched TV without having my iPhone up, either just, you know, searching things about the show, which I've done before, or just having, like, a random little game going on in the side to divert me, you know, like that's just the way I watch TV. It used to be with my laptop in my lap and now it's with my smartphone at my side.
Like that, like there's some kind of statistic. It's like 59 or some kind of like staggering number of tablet use is done while also watching TV.
Yep.
Yeah. Like that, that's just a reality of it.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying, though, is it strikes me as this isn't really a new feature. It's just a – I don't know. I guess I'm surprised this isn't already a thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is kind of already a thing, but they're trying, you know, they're trying to marry it. I mean, the way that I, you know, kind of understand it, you know, the way that I described it was this awesome thing that Apple does along with this awesome thing that Nintendo does. My only problem with it is, like, they're saying, okay, you can use this to supplement your ability to play games. But my problem is, like, when I'm playing a game, I'm already holding a controller. I'm not holding a, you know, a 9.5-inch thing, tablet, you know?
Mm-hmm. So that does make it harder. I think in the idea of having like a scoreboard next to you is kind of a nice idea. You know, I think in general the stats aspect intrigued me. There will be many times where I'm playing where I'm like, I wonder how bad my my kill death ratio is right now. Like I know it's bad, but how bad? How far in the red am I? And just, you know, being able to glance down instead of having to go through the pause menu would be really nice. Or, you know, being able to, on games with larger maps, to have a more zoomed out map view would be useful, just to keep yourself oriented or to really coordinate better. That'd be good. So I can see a lot of uses for this, and I actually think it was a very good idea.
But you're describing why the Wii U controller is a good idea.
No, because the Wii U is an extra thing that you have to buy.
No, and that's this is an extra thing you have to buy. This is an extra $600 tablet you have to buy.
Wait, it's a tablet that only does that?
No, it's not a tablet that only does that, but I mean, if you want to take advantage of this, there's still hardware, whereas with the Wii U, it comes with the damn thing already.
See, fair. I guess all right, I'll give you that. That depends on what... how you view this. To me, this comes across as this is something that seems obvious. I mean, when I pull up World of Warcraft, you know, I can call up a mod that, you know, shows me various forms and where the best things to do things. I don't know. I feel like this isn't something new. It's just making game facts slightly more accessible.
But I think there is that extra level that they could take it to in terms of being able to, you know, better coordinate stuff. One example I give or I will give is we all know how much I love SSX. And when I first started playing it, I found out there was an SSX app. And, you know, the whole idea is that, you know, once you post a score, an event runs for a certain period of time. So after you stop playing, it's theoretically possible for you to get bumped down a bracket. in terms of the placements, just because other people score better after you finished. Mm-hmm. And so this app would show you what events you're entered in, what your current bracket was, and what the payout from that bracket is. And then it would give you notifications if you got, you know, bumped into a lower bracket on any of the things. It straight up didn't work. It just didn't, like, it was broken.
Yeah.
You couldn't even bring up what you were entered in. So, sorry, EA, nice try. But the possibility to do that was very intriguing for me. I think the cool thing will be when you kind of do this. And so Sony is a step closer to it because you can theoretically take the Vita with you, whereas I think the Wii U just has to sit on your shelf once you're done with it.
Yeah.
But I can stick it in my pocket, take it out the door with me, and the experience kind of goes with me.
Yeah, that's actually true. And like, ubiquity is that's the thing, right? Will developers, mm-hmm. you know, take the effort to make extra content for this if they, you know, if they don't know that everybody's going to have a device that can take advantage of it? And I would like to see if Microsoft is brave enough to make this compatible with iOS or Android devices.
Oh no, I heard that they already did make it compatible with iOS.
Oh, great. Cool. Yeah, then I'm down. Awesome.
Now, I could be remembering that wrong, but I thought I did see that specifically they called out, like, hey, this is going to be available with the iPhone.
Well, whenever somebody says, like, tablets, like, it's going to be available on tablets, they're talking about the iPad.
Yeah,
right.
They're not talking about the Galaxy Tab or whatever the fuck's coming out. When they say it's competitive with other tablets, the other tablet they're talking about is the iPad. So, okay, yeah. So that's cool. Now, by putting iOS functionality in there, yeah, they've got the ubiquity that they want. So I can actually see this thing having a chance to succeed. That's not just me.
Yeah, because you're right. If it was the Galaxy Tab, then it would be another periphery that people would have to go out and buy, because no one owns one of those.
Or even like Windows 8 or Windows Phone 7. Like, you know, like eventually that's going to be a thing that's going to be out there, but just like that doesn't have the mind share. You know, so like, are you going to force me to buy this tablet, take advantage of this? Because that kind of sounds like the GameCube with the connectivity feature. Like, buy the Game Boy Advance SP and also have this cord and you can play Zelda with your friends. Yeah, that, like, they just, right. Like, it just, it's too many specific purchases. Whereas if it takes advantage of this thing that you likely have, then it becomes, you know, something that's worthwhile.
Yeah, so kudos to Microsoft on that front.
No, something actually you mentioned occurred to me. One thing I could see this being big on is if this allowed you know, on the PC, you have the mouse and keyboard where you can actually, you know, navigate menus and do stuff like that in a semi-rational way. I wonder if something like this could open up and make, for example, MMOs viable on a console, stuff like that.
Ooh. Yeah, you could just have your tray of different spells or actions or whatever you want to call it and be able to touch them to activate them rather than needing to select them.
That's awkward.
You could chat, do your inventory, stuff like that.
I don't know. Like, I think about the situations, you know, recently since I got an iPad. You know, I usually have it at least by me when I'm playing a game. And if I get stuck somewhere, if I need to look up a fact because I'm on a deadline to beat something, you know, or I just get frustrated, I pause what I'm doing, I reach over, I pick up the iPad, I do my search for whatever, or I check Twitter, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Or if I get a little beep, if I get a text message, or if I get an IM in verbs, then, you know, then it's like, okay, pause, do this. Whereas if I'm expected to, you know, hold the controller while I'm playing it, and then, like, in order to do something I would normally like have to do, like, okay, here's your action hotbar, it's on the screen, okay, look down your lap, oh wait, okay, what, oh, down here, okay, I'm gonna hit that icon, which I can't identify by touch like I could a button on my controller, oh wait, I'm gonna touch, okay, my guildmate says, okay, where are you at, I'm at the dark hollow goblin forest tower, let me type down here, okay, okay, let me look back, okay, let me pick up my controller again. It seems like this, it seems I don't see it being like a gameplay thing, I see it being supplemental. I don't
true
know.
See, I with chat I agree with you, like to type something in on the iPad or iPhone is just marginally better than to do it, you know, through your system, so that does take you out of the experience too much. if it was something like selecting something from a tray of spells, I think I would be able to pull off glancing down, tapping, and glancing right back up. Now, in a shooter, if that was to like select a different weapon, that might get more difficult because there is that element of reflex to it. But for an MMO or similar games where you don't have to be as twitch-based, I think it could work.
Then it becomes about, then it becomes about context. Like if it was a turn-based RPG, then yeah, cool. Give me that. Let me control the entire thing
Oh,
with my
yeah.
iPad. You know, it's like that's great. But just like the use case that I saw was, was Halo, like looking at a map of the stage while you played it, and it was like, it's no, I can barely keep track of what's happening on one screen with Halo. It, or any other shooter for that matter. Don't give me another screen that's sitting next to my lap and giving me ball cancer. You know, so yeah, that's
Oh, we'll
Microsoft.
all pay for our tablets in 50 years.
I'm more worried about my eyes, actually. I've been staring at glowing rectangles for damn near 25 years. I think that by like age 36, my eyes are gonna shrivel up and fall out of my head. Like I have okay
Probably.
vision. I can drive without glasses. I just can't read the blackboard without glasses. But I think I'm in like dire danger.
Well, they're now saying that the problem is if you do that and then don't get enough like sun.
Oh yeah.
So I love how we as a society have advanced enough to where they're like, now your eyes are gonna screw up if you don't look at the sun.
To the point where I have to remind myself to take a 15-minute walk every day so I don't like get depressed. Yeah.
But you can buy the Wii U Fit and that will fix your
No, this is to be
problem.
outside. This is to be outside.
It
Oh,
actually comes packaged with its own sun. It's really, really cool.
exactly. You can buy one of those people, one of those Lancer people with SAD. So let's go through the kind of the I guess smaller publishers and kind of what they hit. So let's talk about Electronic Arts real quick. So everybody remembers the Old Republic, that game that came out so long ago, Star Wars, right?
Apparently no one does, 'cause their fan subscribers have been or their subscribers have been going down.
They've been leaking
That's
subscribers like a
the
sieve.
the oh D20 system one that Merkel likes, right?
Kind of, yeah. No, it's like that, but it's an MMO. And while most MMOs take a couple of years to go free to play, this one took 6 months.
Yeah.
So kind of like the WoW model, like you can play WoW for free up to level 20. And this one you can play up to level 15 for free. That was their big announcement.
Now, I'm curious. I actually don't know how this works on WoW either. Can you play to level 15 and then you stop being able to log in? Or can you get to level 15 and still do stuff but not be able to advance any further?
I think it's the later, but I'm not sure. I mean, that never became a issue for me.
I have less than no idea. I don't know, but like it's good. I mean, that's that. Like I maintain that PC games, there's not going to be a single, like the only publisher that's going to be able to do that, like to charge you to play a game, is going to be Blizzard.
Eve.
Like it
No,
just like.
let's be clear. It's going to be World of Warcraft, because if Blizzard tried to launch a new MMO, I don't think they would be able to get people subscribed. They'd have to
I
go
would
free to
like to
play.
counter with Eve.
Ooh.
Spreadsheets in space.
See, actually, that was something I cut from my what I've been playing.
Okay.
But
Yeah, how much ISK have you made?
it's actually kind of weird. I honestly feel like the last time I played it was before I went to college. In a very weird way, I like it much more after having an engineering degree, which I feel like that's something very bad.
Yeah,
She's
no,
telling me I
but
should stay away from this game.
yes.
But
Ah,
the
what's
like
happening to me?
but this is a couple years out because I could see Eve being like, you could have up to this class of ship without paying. Just for free to play is going to be the model. That's it. That's the future. Doesn't matter. Like tribes is free to play now.
Yeah, the problem is people haven't figured out yet that that free to play works in almost every other setting. The difference is people first provide a quality product.
Well, I don't know. I think that's right. That's rapidly changing. But that's a discussion for later. I think we're kind of a ways away from, like, you know, Korean, like, pay to win kind of stuff. Now it's like you buy different hats and that's cool.
It's pure. It's innocent.
Yeah. So the other EA announcement, one that I'm excited about, is Dead Space 3. It's going to come out in February of 2013. It's going to be focused on co-op, and you're also going to be fighting gigantic monsters.
I saw the co-op. I did not see the gigantic monsters.
It's like Lost Planet level of, like, this is a gigantic necromorph that I'm shooting.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like Lost Planet Dragon's Dogma style stuff.
Does the story, support a third game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a rich universe, kind of like Mass Effect. They have, like, novels and stuff and everything, and the main character is still alive, you know? And that game's over a year old, so it's a spoiler. I guess, yeah. No, but it's by looking at the trailer, you can see, okay, Isaac is, you know, he's alive in this game. Who knows if it takes place before or after or what, you know? We'll leave it at that, because neither of you have played Dead Space 2.
I guess, does anyone other than him survive Dead Space 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I know, just Dead Space 1, I very quickly got to the point where it was clear no one else was going to survive, and so I stopped caring.
Ah. That's kind of why I liked it. I liked how hopeless it felt. So yeah, Dead Space 3. We knew it was going to happen. I'm excited, you know, all of that.
It sounds cool. I like the idea of, well, both of those, trying to do survival horror with co-op, and also trying to pull in some of the, you know, huge enemy a la Resistance, you know?
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting. I hear drop-in co-op, because it is, you're able to join any time. And I hear that, I can't help but thinking, like, Lego Dead Space. that's the image I have in my mind.
I would buy that Lego set.
Anything that'll facilitate it and make co-op something that you don't have to be like, okay, we're both going to be on at 8 o'clock, we're going to play until 10 o'clock, and like, that's if I can play alone and then I see my buddy, you know, hop on, and then I say like, hey, come help me out here, do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool, because like, co-op is really difficult for people who are, you know, not socially inclined. Especially if you're required.
It's difficult for anything outside of the three Buster games that everyone is going to buy each year.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you think any of Resident Evil 5 was scary?
I haven't beaten the game, so don't do that.
Okay. Well,
me.
I guess. No, this isn't spoiler. I guess I felt like the start of the game, when they would, you know, you weren't insanely heavily armed, and when they'd force you to split up, some of those were kind of, you know, creepy.
Yeah.
But then they kind of stopped. Well, I don't know if so much stopped doing that, but then you got enough guns that stopped being effective.
Well, survival horror is all about, you know, video games are about empowerment, and survival horror is, you know, ideally about making you not empowered enough to, you know, to fully feel confident taking on what you're taking on.
Yeah, and I guess I liked it, because at the very beginning, there are a couple of times where they managed to do the classic, like, let's give them a really good reason to split up and then mess with them. That's in, like, every horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then they apparently just decide that wasn't cool.
Should I do my survival horror blog? Because I've been wanting to do that for fucking ever.
What do you mean?
Like, start writing a survival horror blog?
Yeah. Just where I go through and play every survival horror game.
Because you need more games to play.
Because I need more games to play. Oh, we've been going for a very long time, so let's try and sprint through these as quickly as possible.
Okay, so do you want to call that EA's conference, or was there anything else that was big?
I didn't see anything else. Like, that's what I saw. You know. Everybody's kind of biding their time. I don't know. We can do that in the wrap up, but I think that there's a very real reason. It's a very obvious reason why there's not a lot happening here. So Splinter Cell Blacklist at the Ubisoft press conference, that was the biggest thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Conviction, it is coming out on every major high definition system. So that is good for you, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, I'm happy to see that.
Yeah, the thing that I'm happy to see is it does include spies versus mercs, and it has co-op as well, the special co-op stuff like from Chaos Theory.
Nice. You know, I've never played Spies versus Mercs.
What?
Yes,
yeah,
you have.
I've watched you
play Spies versus Mercs.
Oh, no, I've played Spies versus Spies.
Okay.
Yeah, what's I got the weird bastard version and double agent.
Which is, side note, that's what the multiplayer in Assassin's Creed always remind me of. That I couldn't ever. Okay, sorry.
Like Spy versus Spy from Mad Magazine?
Yeah, Spy versus Spy from Splinter Cell.
Okay. Yeah. The game we're talking about. Yeah.
So they had Double Agent, which was like the last hurrah for Splinter Cell on the PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a multiplayer mode, but for whatever reason they went away from Spies versus Mercs, which is something I'd always heard was good, and went to like a Spy versus Spy kind of deal.
Yes, the Spy versus Merc, that was the reason on Pandora Tomorrow. That was the reason that I bought Xbox Live, was to play people
I heard it
from
was
work.
Great.
No, it's amazing. So that's exciting to see that. Let's head over to LucasArts. They announced Star Wars 1313, which isn't a year. That is actually referring to a level on Coruscant, which is that big city planet that everybody seems to be from. You play as a bounty hunter. Looks kind of neat. I'm not sure what era it takes place in, but it's a Star Wars game.
Can we safely say that this bounty hunter is going to develop force powers at some point? That's like inevitable, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
On the other hand, if they didn't, that could actually make the game pretty cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. There was
yeah, but it would make it not a Star Wars game.
Did anybody play Star Wars Bounty Hunter on PS2?
No, I did not.
Oh no, I never played it.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
I heard it was good. I've never played it. It came out like right around the time that Star Wars Republic Commando came out, and I heard that one was really good as well. But who knows?
And you didn't get force powers in it?
I don't think you did. Like I said, I never played it, so you
I feel like that's almost a requirement for a Star Wars movie or a Star Wars game is everyone gets force powers.
Shadows of the Empire, you didn't get force powers, and the first Dark Forces, you didn't get force powers.
Damn. Dropping the knowledge. Okay, I stand corrected.
Yeah. Also Droid Workshop. You did not get force powers in Droid Workshop.
Yes, that was such a good game.
It was an amazing game. Moving over to the Konami camp.
I was about to say that. That's kind of creepy.
Moving over to the Konami camp, Castlevania Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate is coming out for the 3DS. Dennis, as the lone person who has ever played Lords of Shadow, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, it's a great. That was the first game that I platinumed. It was that good.
I'm still judging you for that.
Oh, but you didn't play this game. It was so good.
How much is that on the Rainforest? Let me look here. I don't need more games, but I can at least wish list it.
How much is it?
Let me see here. On holy shit, it's $17. Wait, on nice. PS3, it's $23.76.
Oh.
Still with Prime, that's not bad. Huh.
There's DLC out for it now. It's been out for a while, but I played it through Gamefly, so I couldn't do it. But I was like, oh man, I wish I could do that just so that my trophy list would be complete.
I'm going to put that on the wish list here. So that's coming out for the 3DS. It looks to somewhat follow the story of Lords of Shadow.
Is it only 3DS?
Only 3DS.
Okay.
And it does follow like an actual member of the Belmont family, as opposed to somebody who is unrelated to that, which is good.
I feel like that's actually kind of a good move because at least for me, like not making a Castlevania game for 3DS was basically the same as Nintendo or whoever made that decision saying, hey, we really don't think you should buy this system.
You know what? I'm really worried, actually. This is something I thought of before you said positive things about it, Dennis, but I'm going to say what makes me worried about this. They're bringing out a 3D one for the 3DS. Like, what's that mean for the like Metroidvania Castlevania story?
I thought they had killed that off.
I want more of that.
Wait, is this not that? I guess I should.
This isn't that. This is like Lords of Shadow. This is like a 3D action game.
It's not side scrolling.
Okay, I take that back.
Yeah, it's not side scrolling. It is. You know, as 3D can be.
Yeah, because I love the Metroidvania stuff. That was. Yeah. I mean, that's more or less why I bought a DS.
Oh man, yeah. So that's what makes me worried. What were you going to say, Dennis?
I just said Devil May Castlevania.
God of vampires. And finally, we're going to go over to Namco. This wasn't an E3 announcement, but it is the most exciting thing I've heard in the past week. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Namco has announced that Dark Souls, the PC version, is going to be distributed on Steam. However, the extra content from the PC version is going to be made available on the consoles as $15 DLC, which mends my heart and makes me perfectly happy that they're doing this PC version of this game that I love.
Yeah, good to hear. I know you were worried about that one. So
I was. It kept me up at night.
Although I mean, seriously, you had to know it was coming. Like they're not going to pass up that opportunity.
I guess. Yeah, they've got such a huge community. Like it was okay. They have such a big community behind this game. A, they knew they would piss people off if they didn't do it, and B, they knew they would make money if they did it. So
yep.
And all was right with the world. So takeaways from E3 2012.
Just Why? Waiting for the next generation.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Everybody's biding their time. That's what they're doing. And the only evidence to the contrary is that, okay, beyond the two Souls game, that was announced for PlayStation 3. If there was anybody who was going to, you know, make something that was going to take advantage of, like, quote-unquote next-gen hardware, it's going to be Quantic Dream. That's all that tells me that's all that like gives me pause and makes me think that there are developers, you know, holding out or not holding out, as it were. If there was anybody who was going to hold out, it was going to be
done. Did you guys see Watch Dogs?
I saw that, but it looked kind of like a Grand Theft Auto clone, so I didn't pay too much attention to it.
It's like Grand Theft Auto with Assassin's Creed, which I know is like Assassin's Creed 2, right? But It's basically a modern city setting. It's actually a very realistic rendition of Chicago. I was very impressed because they were kind of showing the intro. I was like, hold on a second, that looks like some buildings in Chicago. And then I started seeing all these places, and I've spent a fair amount of time in Chicago, and just like, I was like, oh my God, that's State Street. Or like, I know where that is. So a very, very faithful recreation of Chicago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically modern day Assassin's Creed.
Speaking of that, here's my question for you. Where was Grand Theft Auto 5?
Oh God, that was gone, yeah.
Yeah, not there.
And the last Guardian wasn't there.
Last Guardian?
I guess not as big a surprise, but come on.
Yeah, Valve wasn't there with anything. I don't even think I saw any announcements about Dota 2, which is the game that everybody but me cares about.
Yeah, I think they're in Dave's camp of, you know, we're done with E3.
I think maybe we said this before we actually started the podcast. That's kind of a theme this time, but I feel like E3 is now where the console makers do stupid stuff, and all of the independent people that make good games are waiting on PAX or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
balance of power is shifting.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm eating some crow because I was really expecting to see some new hardware this year. But
I was.
In terms of like new consoles.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm not talking just about like Wii U. We knew that was a thing. I was expecting, you know, 720 and 4. That's what
see,
I was expecting.
How long has it been?
It's been 7 years for the Xbox, and it's been 6 years on the PlayStation 3.
See, I'm interested in the PlayStation 3 because they very explicitly said, you know, they're doing a 10-year hardware cycle.
That was taken out of
that does seem realistic anymore.
That was taken out of context. Like that, like they were saying we're going to support this system for 10 years. They supported the PlayStation 2 for more than 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so there'll be a new console out sooner than 10 years, but they'll mm-hmm. still have PS3 games and pretty good PS3 support for
yeah. Like that was their promise to somebody who was paying $600 for the PlayStation 3 at launch was
yeah.
you're going to have games for this for 10 years, which somebody who bought the PlayStation 2 at launch, they had that too. But the console cycles are getting longer. I don't know if that's because of retailers not wanting to, take a loss by buying all of this expensive stuff that people might not be ready to buy because of a down economy. I don't know if it's, publishers and developers saying like, hey, like, it's already like way too expensive to develop for these old ass dinosaur consoles. So like, mm-hmm. why would you put that on us to, do this? Or maybe this like the shit's not ready. But like I expected it. I expected them to at least allude to it. And in the case of like Microsoft, I was kind of like looking for them to be like, hey, here's what we have, and surprise, it's going to come out, just like they did with the 360, but they didn't.
In the absence of games, and we talked about kind of how this was a weak showing, that would have been the way to make this a memorable conference or to really stand out. So yeah, I can understand where you're coming from on that, but I think I agree that no one's ready to pull the trigger first, as it were. Because the second someone does that, especially if Microsoft did it, I bet you anything there would be fanboys swarming all over saying like, aha, see, their console is outdated. They need to move. And, PS3 will be just as good.
Just like people are saying about the Wii U.
Well, we all know that's true.
Yeah.
Well, aren't they? My understanding also, though, was that most of the companies were having some fairly significant problems making the whole take a loss on the console, sell games things work. So I wonder if some of it could just be they can't afford to do it.
Yeah, they need to make a little more money back on this current gen than before they can go next gen.
Sony is the only hardware manufacturer that is still on the whole, that is still in the hole with their systems. Microsoft turned a profit on their interactive division, on their game division in 2008, and Nintendo
their Halo division.
Their hardware division, because Microsoft isn't a hardware company.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that it's just their the Xbox as a venture, got out of the red in 2008, and Nintendo turned a profit on the Wii pretty much immediately, and that's where they got their war chest to develop. Yeah. Never mind the fact that they were already in the Nintendo has always been supported by their handheld sales anyway. They've never been in financial trouble. They've only been in relative financial trouble in the terms of the worst economic news that Nintendo can get is, oh my gosh, the rate of growth is slowing down. We are actually not selling these things. Yeah. So that's where it gets. So Sony is the only one who is, who is still in the hole on their venture.
And they're selling them at a profit now with the Slims.
Yes.
So they're probably climbing out.
And that's one of the benefits of the longer, the longer hardware cycle too, is, there are economies of scale. You can, the first one that you put out costs, however many millions or billions of dollars. And then the second one costs a little bit less than that, and by the, 7 years later, you're selling them, just fine.
That's mm-hmm. something I wonder though, is I wonder if more people are waiting to not buy the original hardware, because it seems like this last hardware cycle has been very, very, even more so than normal, not kind to early adopters. I'm thinking of the Red Ring of Death, Nintendo always being like, oh, here's the version of our hardware that doesn't suck.
That's the story of the 3DS, I think, more than anything else.
Oh yeah, that's why I haven't bought one.
Yeah, I mean, I want the 3DS Lite. That's what I want. I don't know. I don't think that's something that anybody's really afraid of. I would say that if Microsoft isn't putting something out, it's because of an abundance of caution. They want to make sure that they don't have that PR nightmare again. But
right.
Okay, so let's have final thoughts on E3 game of the show. For people or concept of the show, let's keep it down to a couple sentences or less.
Give me a second to marinate on it, because I want it to be good.
I know what you're gonna say, so you can just say it if you want.
Oh no, you think I'm gonna zig? I'm gonna zag here.
Okay, all
What
right.
I was trying to find the right way to phrase up. Well, I'll find the right way to phrase it up and then I'll say it. But
Can I say
no,
mine? Like
yeah, please go
while you're
ahead. Give me
formulating your
some time
thought.
to think here.
In the absence of anything else, I'm gonna say beyond.
So do you want just a game of show, or do you want kind of the thought, closing thought?
Okay, give me your game of show and your closing thought. I'm gonna say beyond, and you know, I'm probably gonna steal David's. The interesting stuff is happening elsewhere. I'm just disappointed in general.
Okay, I mean, The Last of Us is what you knew I was gonna say, so that's predictable.
Okay,
but I think the thing that intrigues me the most is that they are finding ways to connect your console gaming experiences beyond just your big screen on your TV. And that's very intriguing to me.
Yeah, all three of them are doing that. Yeah, well, David.
I'd say probably was it the Rest of Us or The Last of Us? So you know what that thing.
Lou
and
Lou, yeah.
I don't know, I guess I didn't realize the degree to which I care much more overall about like indie stuff and even. And at the very least, independent publishers. But I feel like that's maybe kind of what this shows, is that that's more where people look for good games.
So Lou is the game of the show. You will get a complimentary fruit basket. You guys ready to button it up?
Yeah, although I will just call out all three game of shows are PlayStation.
Yeah. I own a PlayStation 3. You won, okay?
No, I do. This is for anyone listening who does not.
So that was episode number 154 of Stand Under the Don't Tree and Riddle Me This. I already know we're going to call it Lou. Let me see here. That was E3. Probably going to have some the remnants of E3 on the next episode, along with more of what we've been playing, etc. This has been a long, extra, double-stuffed, super-stacked, guide to E3. So thank you for bearing with us. Hopefully we had some insight for you. If you want to find more of our show, you can go to duckfeed.tv/don'ttreeriddle. There you can find our listing on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there. You can leave us a rating or review, etc., etc. All that is awesome. You can follow Duckfeed TV on Twitter. There are episodes about the updates about the network, new episodes, things like that. That's a generally good source of information. And you can follow us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/don'ttreeriddle. Is there anything I'm forgetting, fellas?
No, I think that's it.
No,
okay.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Cool. You can follow me on Twitter. I am at Cole Ross. That is KOLEROSS.
I am at DFuria, DFURIA.
And you on that Twitter jam yet?
No.
Okay. Yep. So for Stand Under the Don't Tree and Riddle Me This, my name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
David Meissman.
And let's hope E3 is better next year.